ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app, on ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
And that, my friends, is why you do not break up the Bulls, because of what they are capable of last night. A 119-113 thriller at home at the UC as the Bulls come back and put it on the Bucks with a six-point win in OT. And I do say put it on, because when you win by six in OT after having trailed by 11 with 2.5 minutes remaining in the game, that, my friends, is a hell of a comeback. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Tyler Aki, as we're in for Cap and Jay Hood. That was a fun watch, a fun night of basketball last night, Tyler.
Didn't it feel a little bit like the Bulls of last year?
I think it felt a lot like last year.
And for some reason, too, it felt like this was a game that everyone seemed locked into. Even though they're coming off of the loss to the Rockets, it felt like there was some juice to this game, and not just because it was the Bucks on the other side. Like, the Bulls were still playing good basketball up until that point against the Rockets, where they lose and get blown out, allow over 130 points to one of the worst teams in the league. But it just kind of felt like, I don't think I've gotten more texts about a Bulls game this season than last night. And it wasn't just because of the comeback, I feel like. It just felt like people were sort of dialed into that game for some reason last night.
Well, it's the Bucks. You've got Giannis, you know, one of the top five players
in
the league.
He's going off.
Absolutely. By the way, yeah, he went for 40, was it 45 and 20?
And 22. He set a career high in rebounds. It's the first ever 40-20 game at the United Center.
And you know, it's the first time we've had a 40-20 game in the NBA since yesterday when Luka did it. But, and we spent a large portion of the show talking about Luka. But no, I think it was when Giannis is in the house, there's that extra element of, okay, this is worth my time. No matter what the effort is coming from the Bulls, and that's part of the reason we've been so frustrated as fans with them this season, is because there's the inconsistency. There's too much of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with the Bulls, you know, night in and night out, never knowing quite what you're going to get. As you saw last night, as you saw in the previous game against Houston, you know, it's just, there's too much inconsistency. The effort was fully there from the Bulls last night against the Bucks, and I think you're absolutely right. What they did, what had everybody buzzing, it felt like more than usual. And it certainly didn't, you know, hurt that you had probably your, I'd say right now, your biggest division rival, your biggest rival in the conference going right now in the Bucks. Maybe they're the big brother in this situation, but they're clearly the team that the Bulls have got to get past if they have any intentions of actually making a deep run in the playoffs. And we'll have a lot of discussion about that. If you'd like to discuss Bulls, 312-332-3776. How reinvigorated were you by last night's comeback victory? Here are the sights and sounds of the Bulls' comeback win against the Bucks. Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago.
DeRozan, crossover for the lead. Yes! Oh, the ball is DeRozan. That's Game time. Game time. Game time. You can drive home safely, Chicago. Beat, beat.
The comeback of the season to knock off Milwaukee for their second win against the Bucks this year.
The Bulls seem to have no issue when they're playing some of the top teams in the East. Unlike last year,
yeah,
where the problem was good teams, this year the issue has been, you know, the inconsistent effort against teams they should be beating. And an effort like last night, I think, goes to show a lot of what we were talking about yesterday, Tyler. You know, do you need to blow this roster up? I was of the mindset, and still am, that I don't think blowing up the Bulls does you any good, because I think there's just too much talent assembled for them to find their way, especially when knowing that you'd be blowing it up and any draft pick that you could, if it doesn't land inside the top four, is headed to Orlando as a result of the Vooch trade. So I don't think blowing it up is practical. I don't think any franchise in all reality is going to go ahead and tank for a less than 50-50. I think it would be 48.5% or something for them to land in the top four if they end up with really high lottery odds. And so I don't think any franchise is going to embark upon a tank job like that. But last night, it's just, that's fun basketball. DeMar DeRozan going off for 42 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks on 15 of 25 shooting, and 10 of the Bulls' 13 points in OT. I mean, that was a ridiculous effort. I mean, was that his best game as a member of the Bulls? He's had a couple. He's had some really nice ones.
There was a game against the Clippers last year where I think he went off for over 50, I want to say, in an overtime win against the Clippers. But that's right up there, because you're going up and beating a team that is going to be in the conversation, in the mix to win the NBA Finals this year. A lot of people think this is the best team in basketball right now with the Bucks. And not just that, but this is your second win against the Bucks this year. You brought up how this team really struggled last year against some of these playoff caliber teams. This year so far, among teams that are sitting in the top 10 in each conference right now, so teams that would be in the play-in or firmly in the playoffs,
yes,
the Bulls are 12-11 against those teams this season. And you look at, okay, what does that mean? What are they against the teams that are outside the playoffs? They're 3-8. So if you can flip that number the rest of the season and continue to play about 500 ball, then that completely changes the narrative of should you blow this thing up, because if you start playing better against some of these bottom-feeding teams, you're going to start to pad that record a little bit. And you've got a chance these next couple of games, especially at home. Next 3 games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a chance to get this thing right near 500 again if you keep playing this way. But this can't be one of those teams that just plays to their competition every single night.
I believe it's 2 more at home because it was a 3-game home stand.
That's right.
They have the Pistons coming to town tomorrow night, and we'll talk about them. The Bulls actually also may get a little bit of a bump against the Pistons because of what went down with Detroit last night. Looks like they're going to have some suspensions coming. So I would imagine the Pistons will be shorthanded when they play the Bulls on Friday night at the UC, and then they will, of course, host the Cleveland Cavaliers on New Year's Eve at the UC. So, and then they'll have a follow-up game in Cleveland on January 2nd. So they have a back-to-back, not back-to-back in terms of nights, but back-to-back in terms of games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So a few games coming up here where, yes, there's an opportunity for the Bulls to kind of change the narrative around what their season's been all year. This is where I think it kind of, maybe it started, you know, 4 games ago when they went on that little 3-game run, right? And then, unfortunately, the Houston debacle kind of soured the taste in everyone's mouth on where they were at. But then you get right back at it, you jump back and show what you're capable of. And I think that's the one thing, like, you know, the Bucks weren't shorthanded. You know what I mean? Like, they brought, for the most part, you know, their full roster, right? Their full complement of pieces.
Well, they were missing, what? Were they missing Middleton last night? And also Drew Holiday,
yeah,
too.
So I guess out that's there, true. But when Giannis and Brooke Lopez were there, and of course everybody's favorite man to hate, who we will get into that too momentarily. We can jump into it now if you'd like.
Yeah, let's
I mean
do it.
this is possibly, if you want to ask, okay, because it was a back and forth game,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like at least for the first half and then entering the third quarter, it felt like Giannis was going to impose his will and will the Bucks to victory. And I don't know if this was the moment that everything turned, because the Bucks still did pad some numbers and increase their lead after this. But this play by Grayson Allen seemed to really fuel the Bulls' desire to not let this game slip away.
And things get a little chippy here. Matthews and DeRozan had to be separated.
Well, it was Grayson Allen always in the middle of it.
Allen's in the midst of it. Let's say I get the feeling that you're going to see something here when they show the replay. DeRozan still jawing, and I can understand his frustration.
Let's take a look at it. Let's see what happened.
I want to see this.
Was there something extra after the...
Listen, every time something like this happens, his go-to default setting is to do something a little extra.
And then he
puts his hands up and says, oh, well, I didn't do anything at all.
Listen, I'm going to clear out of the way here because I know when there's a man who comes from Duke who needs to be put on blast. Tyler, you are the best man at the station to do it. So I, Jeff Meller, will cede the floor to Tyler Aki here.
All right. I mean, this is just another apple off of the Coach K tree right here. When you have this track record that Grayson Allen has, and again, it's not just in the NBA. Multiple incidents in college, multiple incidents at the pro level, incidents in the summer league as well. You are not allowed to get away with this anymore. The NBA has kind of turned its eye on the Grayson Allen situation for so long. And when you get offense after offense after offense, it's time to make an actual punishment. Hand something real down on him. He needs, like, this is unbelievable that it gets to this point where he's allowed to continue to get away with stuff like this. There wasn't anything excessive in terms of a penalty that gets handed down in this instance, but I would hope the league office does something different because he has gotten away with this for too long. And when you've got the track record that he does, you can't let this continue to be an issue because eventually, I mean, I shouldn't even say eventually, he already has seriously hurt someone.
Absolutely. Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're going to let him continue to get away with it, he's just going to hurt someone else. And listen, yesterday is probably on the lower scale of what he's done. But even it's the when he makes his whatever shifty move he's going to go out there and try to hurt someone with, he still plays victim at the end of it. Like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. And I can't believe people, like last year after the Caruso thing, you kind of saw his teammates knew what he did was wrong. And they kind of backed off and weren't the most supportive in standing up for him after that. But now you're seeing them start to embrace him a little bit more. And you saw Giannis get in the middle of things. And he was the one that really held DeMar DeRozan back. But this can't be something that continues to happen. Some sort of suspension, even though this is on the lower scale of his offenses, something has to happen because he can't keep being allowed to do stuff like this because it is going to eventually lead to another big injury. DeMar DeRozan was never going to be seriously injured from what happened last night, but it's because of who it was that something needs to happen.
This is the Cap and Jay Hood Show. Tyler Aki, Jeff Meller filling in for the guys. And if it is the Cap and Jay Hood Show, so I think it's perfectly apt that we ask the question, did something that happened in last night's Pistons game need to happen to Grayson Allen? We'll talk about that coming up next.
That's why I see him in my shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in my
shot. You know, every day at this time, it is shot or no shot on the Cap and J Hood show, even when Jeff Meller and Tyler Aki are filling in. We've got our man Charlie Bevins behind the glass producing the show. Charlie, take it away.
All right, boys. Shot or no shot, of course, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action in your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races. Good morning, Secretariat. Or on the go at the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Register at Club Hawthorne now for a chance at $12,000 cash on January 1st.
Charlie, what's going on?
All right, boys. The NFL season is nearing its end with 2 weeks left, and our Chicago Bears, as we've talked extensively about, have had a rough year. They are, however, a half game back of the Texans for the number one overall pick. We've seen franchises change their entire complexion by trading a top pick to a quarterback needy team. Think Tennessee trading the first overall pick to the Rams for Goff, or the haul of picks the Dolphins got from San Francisco for just the third overall pick. The Bears have also never picked number one before and have a chance to dramatically increase the resources available to them in this rebuild. Shot or no shot, this is the most pivotal 2 weeks in Chicago Bears history.
I'm going to go no shot. I'm going to say the 2 weeks, the Super Bowl week, and then the week before that in the NFC Championship in 1986 for that 85 Bears team were the two most pivotal weeks in Bears history.
I will a little bit. I'll disagree just slightly. I'll say no shot as well to the question. I disagree, though. I think it was almost fait accompli, to be honest with you, Tyler, that the Bears were going to walk into the Superdome and just blitz the Patriots, and that kind of played out that way. So I don't think, honestly, that because it was expected, to be honest with you, at that point. So, and they had dominated the entire season, so to the tune of 15-1, where nobody was really concerned about the Super Bowl.
Could you imagine if they had lost that game?
Certainly, but you know why I say it wasn't? Because they were famously out on Bourbon Street partying during Super Bowl week. So clearly, Jim McMahon was breaking curfew. It was he had created a media frenzy because he had mooned the entire city of New Orleans, and and helicopter had caught it on for video for TV. So I think the way they handled it kind of showed it wasn't necessarily important. But I see what you're saying. I'll say it's an interesting point, Charlie, but no shot because you're right. The fortunes could potentially be there, but with no clear-cut number one quarterback, I don't know if there will be the same type of, you know, free-for-all in terms of teams wanting to trade up for that number one overall pick. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. Now, Young's size, I think, is really the issue, right? If he were taller, then he would be the clear-cut number one guy, but his size really is going to have questions when we come around to the draft. So I'm going to say no shot, because I also think if they end up picking second, they may still have plenty of opportunities to trade out of that. So
I agree with you.
All right, we've talked about it a lot this morning, but the Bulls pulled off an incredible comeback in a 119-113 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Most importantly, however, they showed a fight we really haven't seen this season. And the energy from the team is the best it's looked all year. After taking plenty of heat the last couple of weeks regarding his team's competitiveness and basically publicly begging his team to put more effort into their games, shot or no shot, Billy Donovan has finally broken through to the Bulls.
I hope so. I'll say shot. I'm hoping that the team is just fed up with the conversations around their, the talents on the roster and not matching the results, right? So I'm hoping that after what we saw last night, this is a path to a more competitive basketball team.
I'm going to go no shot because this seems like a player-driven team. You've got some leaders on this team, some guys who have made some all-star teams, and we've heard even some of the conversations in that piece with Shams Charania and Darnell Mayberry dissecting the inner workings of the Bulls and the dysfunction that was happening. It's the one-on-one, face-to-face meetings between LaVine and DeRozan. It feels like it's kind of a player-led team. So I'm going to go no shot. I think that this is the players kind of maybe even like the after that piece came out, it's, all right, that was the kick in the ass that they needed to kind of band together. So I'm going to say it's more of the players than the coach.
All right. The Bears play the Lions this week, and Matt Eberflus was asked about the culture the Lions have set, and this is what he had to say. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the strength of their team is the offensive line. You know, that's the most talent, they have on their groups, and certainly they've been playing very well. You know, they do a really good job of, limiting sacks and doing those types of things, and obviously been doing a good job running the ball as of late. So, again, that's always a big part of having success is offensive line.
The Lions have spent years building up their offensive line, and obviously Dan Campbell's influence has made that team pretty aggressive and very tough. Shot or no shot, it's the Lions, actually, who have set an example for the Bears to follow.
I'll say shot in the sense that building an offensive line is really what should be one of the top priorities for the Bears. But we went over it a lot yesterday, too. Tyler and I did. The defensive line also is a huge issue for the Bears. So even though the offensive line, I think Justin Fields gives you an opportunity to, I'm not going to say ignore the offensive line, but his ability to scramble, evade, tacklers. I think that gives you a leg up on a lot of other teams where you don't need to have an offensive line full of Pro Bowlers or all pros. I think you can have just a serviceable offensive line, and where you need the most help still continues to be on the defensive side of the ball, because Justin Fields has that unique ability to not need a clean pocket all the time.
I agree with you on that front there. I'm going to say no shot here. I still think it's the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's not just because their record right now is sitting at 13-2, but they kind of tackled everything over the course of a couple of years here. They addressed the offensive line. They've had a rock solid offensive line this year. Their defensive line is menacing. They went out and got the number one receiver. They've drafted a really talented receiver who could be a number one on a lot of teams as well. He sure as hell would be a number one on this team. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with no shot. I still think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, the NFC North is a doozy this year. The expected runaway winners, the Green Bay Packers, have found themselves in a fight for their playoff lives. Nobody believes in the Vikings, and the Bears are, well, the Bears. But the Bears' upcoming opponent, the Lions, have been one of the main stories of the NFL. They have an electrifying offense, a defense that's played better as of late, as you guys talked about, and multiple first-round draft picks, including one in the top 10 from the Rams. Shot or no shot, the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC North next year.
I'm still going to go no shot. I think I'm more concerned about both the Vikings and Packers, and maybe that is just a product of Jared Goff being your quarterback. You're right, though, Charlie. They do have a lot of talent on the roster. I do think the Packers have an opportunity to get better. And you're right. No, while nobody necessarily believes in the Vikings, I think at 12-3 and with Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connor, the new head coach for the Vikings being there, I think they've unlocked Kirk Cousins in a way that is going to help them go as far as they possibly can. Now, that might not necessarily mean a Super Bowl appearance, but I think that the Vikings are still more talented and more of a concern when it comes to winning the division for me than the Lions are.
I'll go shot. I think that they are a team, though, that is that being the Lions with draft capital, and they've done a pretty good job of drafting. If you look at their most recent draft and some of the other ones that they've had too, I'm going to go a shot. Listen, I think this division could be wide open next year, and it could be one of those years where you look at whoever has the lowest odds, like the worst odds to win the division, and there might be the most value on that team. It very well could be the Bears to have that most value, because it could be any of the four teams next year. I'd imagine from a wins and loss perspective, we'll see the Vikings take a step back, not necessarily from a production standpoint, but from a wins and loss standpoint. Some of those one-score games probably will go the other way next year. The Packers, I'd imagine, will be a little bit better. And the Bears and Lions, I think, will both be better next year. So it could be a wide-open division. So I'll say there's a shot that the Lions are the team to beat next year.
All righty.
All right, we talked about this a little bit this morning, about how it relates to the Bears, but I'm curious what you guys think of this situation in general. It was announced that Derek Carr will be benched the last two games of the season for the Las Vegas Raiders. But not only that, he will be stepping away from the team entirely. Things are messy in Vegas right now. They tried to microwave themselves into a competitive roster with the Devontae Adams trade, only to enter the offseason starting over at quarterback. Shot or no shot, this thing is already unraveling for Kevin Ziegler and Josh McDaniels in Vegas.
I do think it it is possibly unraveling, because the fact that they tried to make it work with Derek Carr, and maybe they had to, but the problem is for the Raiders now what it is for most teams in the NFL. They need a quarterback. They thought maybe Josh McDaniels was not necessarily convinced that he was the guy, but contractually they were obligated to hang with Carr for at least this first year. I do wonder, though, if they move off of Derek Carr, could this be the landing spot for Tom Brady next year?
Ooh.
Josh McDaniels, obviously somebody who Tom Brady knows very, very well, and with Devontae Adams already in place, and could Josh Jacobs change his tune? We played the sound yesterday about him being very disappointed with where they're at as a franchise. You wonder if Tom Brady, who is a free agent next year, is looking for a new location all of a sudden. Remember, there were rumors that Tom Brady could have ended up with the Raiders, that bubbled to the surface earlier in the season. So you wonder, Tom Brady to the Raiders, is that the next move in this domino? The next domino?
It certainly could be. That's a total shot for me to the original question of, is this thing unraveling? This thing's a disaster. And unfortunately fortunately for Josh McDaniels, there wasn't a giant move to go get the quarterback, or otherwise his fate very well could have been just like Nathaniel Hackett's. And he could have been one of those coaches that goes one and done, because it's been a disaster. As bad as it's been in Denver, I think it's been equally as bad with the Raiders. When you look at the double-digit leads that have been blown, the Broncos are just playing bad. The Raiders are collapsing in these games. And you look at some of the results that they've had, and listen, you were on the right end of one of them, too, with that game against the Patriots when they're throwing the ball all around the yard and you come away with the scoop and score there. So it's a shot for me. This thing is unraveling in Vegas, and I think we could see some major shakeups within the roster. Maybe not with the coaching staff yet, but there, Josh McDaniels is going to be on the hot seat for next year.
I'll add one more point to this, is that it's unraveling for Vegas, but in the sense for McDaniels, I don't believe it is, because I think he's got a lot of leash here, especially with them currently paying John Gruden. I don't think they're going to be in any, I don't think Mark Davis is going to be moving quickly to fire Josh McDaniels. I think he's got a lot of rope here, so I think he'll still be the head coach of the Raiders for a couple of years at the bare minimum.
All right, how about this for a little impromptu shot or no shot? The Raiders are actually a tale of caution of what happens when you try to go for it too quickly.
I will say no shot, because again, I think Tyler made the point. When you don't mortgage your future for a quarterback, and I don't think they did with Derek Carr necessarily. Sure, they get, and I don't think they paid an exorbitant price for Devontae Adams, right? A first and a second was a reasonable, deal that they made for him, an elite player. And I think even though maybe it's wishful thinking trying to will it into existence for the Bears to go find a way to trade for Devontae Adams, I think the likelihood is he'll still be back with the Raiders next season, especially if, again, that possible alternative plan is trying to coax Tom Brady to come play his final years in Vegas.
I'll also go no shot there, because Devontae Adams hasn't been the problem in Vegas. It's been because of the quarterback. It's been because some of the surrounding pieces. It's been because of some of the injuries, too, that team has had. I mean, Darren Waller's missed a good portion of the season, and he's been one of their most talented pass catchers. So I will say no shot, because Devontae Adams hasn't been a part of the problem. And like you laid out, I think it was very well worth the first and second round pick that they traded to go get him. And on top of that, you're only really biting the bullet in one draft if you're Vegas. They're going to be back, and I don't know what their current draft situation is, but they're not set back this year because of the Devontae Adams trade in the draft.
Yeah, they traded their first-round pick last year. They do have their pick this year. Right now, they'd currently be picking ninth. So I think when you think about, it's when you give up multiple first-round picks, that's when you're really concerned, because you're giving up a couple of years' worth of first-round picks. When you're just giving up one first-round pick and you're getting an elite player back, there's a cost certainty to that you can definitely swallow. 312-332-3776 if you'd like to discuss the Bears and the idea of going after Devontae Adams. Justin Fields spoke yesterday. He talked about what a win could mean against the Lions. We'll share that with you next here on ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at @CapJayHood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Is this the part where I say that Deal Breakers is brought to you by SEO Level Up, Charlie?
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right. Got it down. Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood. It is Thursday, which means it is time for Deal Breakers. I am a Deal Breaker virgin, so be gentle here, Charlie.
We'll see about that. All right. It's New Year's Eve, and your significant other decided to take it easy this year and just have a quiet night in. It was something you'd planned for a while. You made a lovely dinner, dressed nice, all the cute stuff. Of course, you're staying up late for the ball drop. But at 9:30, your partner declares they're going to bed. They're honestly, truly not mad, just tired. Is this a deal breaker?
Boy, this is a deal breaker. I'll tell you what, I've lived this multiple New Year's Eves. There was a New Year's Eve where my wife, Michelle, and I had plans to go out. We had, I don't know if we were going to, I don't even know, because it was probably, 15 years ago now at this point. We had plans to go out. I showed up to her mom's house at the time, and her mom was gone for the evening, and she was sick beyond belief, throwing up. I spent the entire evening with her in bed and essentially watching a Law and Order marathon. Dead serious. That's how I spent one New Year's Eve. And then,
what year were you ringing it in that year? Do you remember?
I don't know the exact year, but my guess was that it was fairly early in our relationship, so it was, we weren't married yet. It was probably like 2003, 4.
Okay.
It was definitely, you know, so it's back then, yeah, Law and Order Marathon. That was one New Year's Eve. And I do feel like over the last 5 to 8 years, Charlie, we have stayed, we generally stayed, especially because I have twins, kids who are 12 years old. So oftentimes, if we're not at a friend's house where they have friends hanging out, we will be at home ourselves. And there have been numerous New Year's Eves where my wife has been in bed well before the ball drop. And I'm talking well before the New York, you know, apple drop. So she's been in bed by 10:30 plenty of times. So this is not a deal breaker for me. I'll promise you that.
I will say this is 1,000% a deal breaker. I mean, it's one thing, okay, you're struggling to get to the finish line and you don't make it to midnight. You maybe cash out at like 11, 11:30.
You've been planning on this for a while, too.
But 9:30? Like, what? Especially at my age, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit of a different context for your age, but at 25, if you're out at 9:30, there's an issue here. So that is a deal breaker.
Charles, is it a deal breaker for you is the question.
I don't think so. Honestly, like, there's a good chance I'm going to do this, like, within the next few years.
Yes. Don't worry. It's coming for you, boys. Don't worry. I promise that.
All right. Let's go back in the time machine. Let's go back to last week. You've been with your significant other for a while now, and you're at a critical juncture in the relationship. You're going to meet the family on Christmas Eve. You get there early, help set up. You even help cook. Once you've gone above and beyond in preparing the Christmas festivities, you decide it's time to unwind with the full slate of Christmas Eve football.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the living room and see, however, there is no television. They aren't watching football. They don't watch sports. They didn't even know there were games today. Instead, you're stuck playing board games, a white elephant. You think you overheard someone say they're going to sing songs around the fireplace? Regardless of what the alternative is, you're missing a pivotal week of football on Christmas because of this family. Is this a deal breaker?
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is a deal breaker. And the fact that there's no television in sight is red flags all over the place. I'm sorry. We are not compatible. Things are going to happen, you know, either that or we will never spend a holiday with your family again.
Dude, that's not a red flag. That's a white flag. Like, it's over.
Yes,
it is over.
Absolutely.
No television's in sight. What goes on there? Like, and then, yeah, you laid out the rest of the festivities, and when you've got NFL football on, no thank you.
We're going Christmas caroling. What? No. I will stay back at home, and the good news is you can watch everything on your phone, so you don't even need a TV anymore.
Yeah.
You just be like, I'm going to go sit in the corner. I'm going to pull up my my DirecTV Sunday Ticket app and watch the NFL action.
I think that's the week I play sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You guys were talking about movies earlier. How about this? You've just met someone and the two of you plan to see a movie together for a first date. How about Avatar: The Way of Water? You get into the theater and this person tells you they're going to get popcorn and you'll just meet at the seats. They come back and you reach for some popcorn out of the large bucket and they tell you, whoa, if you wanted popcorn, you should have gotten some for yourself. Is this a deal breaker?
Yes, absolutely. We've got issues if you can't share. This is a litmus test. If you refuse to share your popcorn, first of all, I'm concerned because at any movie theater, you should know by now, if you haven't figured it out, they're more than willing to feed you an endless supply of popcorn. It costs them nothing, right? They just want you to buy the big package and they will fill it endlessly, right? Mm-hmm. And then also they want you to keep drinking the soda, right? That's their biggest profit margin. So yes, if you're not willing to share your popcorn,
your endless supply,
we've got issues here. And now maybe they didn't buy the big tub that is, you know, for free refills. Still, there's an issue here. That is a deal breaker yet again, because I think it's kind of a window into your psyche as a person if you're unwilling to share.
Yeah, it's a little territorial and a strange thing to be territorial about. Deal breaker. 100% deal breaker.
Especially because it's popcorn. Like, it's a little different if maybe you bought some candy and, like, you're rationing out. Like, the supply is not as, limitless. But yes, popcorn, no. This is an absolute deal breaker.
Yeah, it's not like you're getting your 10 junior mints and then...
Yeah, you don't want to share your Swedish fish. Okay, I can maybe understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, how about this? You've been seeing someone for a little while now and it's going really well. You've been taking things slow and they bring you back to their place. But when you walk in, they pull a Care Bear out of their bag that they said they've had since they were 5. You then find out they've brought that Care Bear on every date you've been on because it goes everywhere with them. And not only that, they can't sleep without said Care Bear. Is this a deal breaker?
Wait, aren't most of these based on true stories?
This one is.
This one is?
Not the last ones.
Oh, you got some friends, man.
Go ahead.
Yes, this is a deal breaker. I get sometimes you need your little rabbit's foot from time to time, but like a Care Bear, like what are we doing here? Like, I guess, like, I feel like Care Bears are a little outdated for me, but this would be like similar if someone was carrying around Webkinz.
This is hilarious because, okay, Charlie has no idea, no way to know this, but I am a child of the 80s. My wife is a child of the 80s. This is when Care Bears were invented and brought to the forefront. For a graduation gift from college, I actually purchased for my wife every Care Bear. She had, I kid you not. She had probably 3 or 4 Care Bears that she got when she was growing up. And she loved them and she had them in her dorm room at college. We dated throughout college, and when she graduated from college, part of the gift that I purchased her was, this is back in the day when eBay was hot. I purchased every single Care Bear and gave her a big box of Care Bears for her college graduation.
I can't tell if this is a gag gift or sentimental.
This is absolutely... She loved it. She thought it was the greatest thing.
How many were there?
There were probably 25-ish.
So when that shows up at your door... Like the 20. Did you have to buy them all individually?
So
or?
I got about 18 from one seller, and then I just filled in the rest through purchases. Okay. You know, so like, but there was essentially one big box of Care Bears that arrived, and this was before Amazon Prime was, you know, sending out boxes, you know, where you'd get numerous boxes every single day at your door. No, this was a big deal when they arrived.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's coincidentally enough, my daughter, who is 12 years old and she's really into giving gifts. She enjoys the process of giving, which is very cool. My son, he's more in the process of getting. My daughter, though, loves giving gifts. And she, without my knowledge, for my wife, purchased for her this year a Care Bear. Kid you not.
And she had no idea of the context of...
Well, no, my daughter discovered the Care Bears that I bought for my wife, and she loves them. Like, it was the gift that kept on giving because my daughter, at a young age, discovered these Care Bears at one point. They were packed away somewhere in our house, and then one day we, like, stumbled upon them, probably when we were moving one day, and then we were like, oh, my daughter was probably 3 or 4 at the time, and she loved them. So it's... Coincidentally enough, she bought my wife a new Care Bear this year. I'll actually, when I get home today, I will go ahead and snap some photos. I'll have to see if I can find the old ones, but I'll snap a photo of the new Care Bear my wife just got this past Christmas from my daughter.
Are Care Bears back? Is this like the new baseball cards and Crocs or whatever? Like, are they back?
Listen, IP that people, you know, can identify with? Absolutely. It's going strong. There are new Care Bears being churned out. And available for purchase. So, Charlie, was this a deal breaker for you is the question?
No, this didn't happen to me.
Okay.
It happened to a friend, right?
To my buddy from back home.
I will say, though, it's my wife did not bring a Care Bear with her everywhere we went. So it's not quite
the
same. That
means you have to carry a backpack everywhere, right? Well, so,
like, sometimes the Care Bears can be made. My daughter made one of the Care Bears that I got my wife into a backpack because she's very crafty.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife was pissed. She's like, you didn't even ask. You just made it into a backpack.
Ripped the stuffing out.
I don't know. She was. My wife was not happy about that. That was a huge fight, actually, in the Meller household. All right, 312-332-3776. That is Deal Breakers, brought to you by SEO Level Up. As we continue to talk Bears and whether or not they should be in on the Raiders with this benching of Derek Carr, what does that mean for the future of Devontae Adams? And up next, we've got an interesting Thursday night football game. We've got the Cowboys against the Titans, and a couple of key players are not playing. We'll tell you about that next here on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
It is time for Animal Stories here at Cap and Jay Hood. Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki filling in for the guys today. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Sylvie coming up at 10 o'clock. That's right. Carmen and Sylvie, or do you say Sylvie and Carmen, Tyler?
I think it goes Sylvie and Carmen, right?
Well, it did back in the day.
Oh, did
yes,
it? Okay.
Yes, yes. But not everybody knows that. I'm probably one of the very few people who know the actual order of it. But Sylvie and Carmen, Carmen and Sylvie coming your way at 10 o'clock. We'll crosstalk with the guys at 10 and see what they have in store. They're probably, I don't see any band getting ready to save the music today, so we'll have to ask them if they have a band ready for the noon hour. My guess is probably not, but maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know.
All right.
All right, Charlie. Fire away with today's animal story on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah, how about a nice little wholesome animal story today?
Doing wholesome?
Yeah, what why not?
Does it have to be?
I could give you a very depressing one.
Yeah.
Well, depressing. I don't know if I like depressing.
Let's hear it.
What do you think, Merck? Should we go depressing or uplifting?
No, not depressing. Uplifting. Let's go uplifting. It's the holiday season. Okay.
No, the holidays are over.
We still got one more. Yeah,
we got New Year's. Eve, baby.
That's a new slate. That's a fresh slate.
That's a new year.
That's not an uplifting holiday.
It's part of the holiday season, my friend.
All right.
Let's keep it uplifting.
Yeah, right. How about this?
Yeah.
So we had Zeppelin, a 3-year-old German Shepherd mix, was lost last year in California. It was gone for an entire year, and the owners just found him in Kansas. Gone for an entire year, came back just in time for Christmas. It ended up all the way in Kansas.
So
Dog on the loose.
Was the dog chipped? Do you know?
Yes.
All right.
So there is a theory. The owner has a theory that it walked down to the construction site because the dog would go there a lot and it would get fed there a lot. And then all of a sudden, the owner went down and it was gone. And then less than a year later, like I said, right before Christmas, somebody found the dog, brought it to the vet, and it was chipped. And they returned the dog home for Christmas.
There you go. Nice, heartwarming story. You want the depressing one, Tyler?
Yeah, give me the depressing one. Let's go. Come on.
Let's go. A little column A, a little column B here.
All right.
A little yin and yang.
Are you familiar with the Shiba Inu Doge meme?
Of course. You know, I don't know if you know, Charlie, I am a Shiba Inu owner, so I'm
very... Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm very familiar with it. Actually, there, I'll show you,
you
my screensaver.
By the way, your flashlight's on.
It just flipped on. I realized that. Go ahead.
You're familiar with this meme, right? Like, the whole, like, it's turned around, it looks all silly. Well, the Shiba Inu behind Doge has been diagnosed with leukemia and liver disease.
All right.
You wanted a depressing story, Tyler?
You, sir, I'm pointing at
there
Tyler,
you go.
Are a jag. That was unnecessary.
This is a meme, right?
Like, no, but there's the actual
dog. It's a real dog.
That turned into the meme that is used for the meme.
I think we needed something to balance this out here, right?
Nobody wants...
It's in quote, dangerous condition, Tyler. Yeah, Kabosu.
Right. So there's still... all right, you guys are calling out me. What if it rallies? What if the dog rallies?
I don't know that
then,
it's going to rally.
It's an then this will be an uplifting story.
Look how old this meme is now.
We're not there yet, man. Ugh. All right, that one was a bit of a bummer there. I'm not going to lie. Tyler, thanks for bringing us all down.
Waddle always says I'm too young to be this cynical.
You are. Absolutely. I agree with that. Ugh. All right, try and bring us back. All right, so let's turn to the Bears head coach who's trying to put positive spin on things. Matt Eberflus met the media yesterday and he was asked the talent around Justin Fields. Is it enough when he's making decisions about where they're at as a franchise?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, when you're a quarterback, you're going to have adversity during the course of the season. You're going to have some linemen out. You're going to have some, you know, skill sets that aren't going to be there, and he's got to figure that out. You know, we have to figure that out as coaches. You know, we have to be able to figure it out and maneuver. How do we move the ball down the field when this person X is out or person Z is out? And we just got to figure it out. It's good for the coaches, too, as well as Justin.
One more from Matt. How has Fields done with the current supporting cast?
I think he's done well. I mean, if you look at how he's progressed during the course of the year, with all the different lineups up front, with all the different receiver lineups, with losing Herbert for quite an extended period of time, I think he's done well, you know, and he's improved his game. And we're excited to see where these last two games are going.
I would agree. I think he's done about as good as can be expected when you consider what he's been surrounded by. Coming into the season, I thought their skill position players in terms of, like, compared to the rest of the league were amongst the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have been hit hard with injuries, two guys like Darnell Mooney, and as you heard, Khalil Herbert, Dave Montgomery, both hurt at different times of the season. Justin Fields has found a way to be productive all year, and I think really anybody who was unsure about whether he would be the long-term answer, Justin Fields is not in question right now. He still needs to get better, but you know, he is a position where you feel like you're going to move forward with him and at least see what he's going to do. I'm not saying he's locked in a big second contract with the team just yet. I still think you need to see him play at a better level with better players around him, but we're trending in the right direction at the very least.
I think about it too. He's had one constant in terms of a weapon around him all season long, and it's Cole Kmet. And we've seen them grow. Each of them have taken a step forward this year. So when he's had that time to develop that chemistry with Cole Kmet, that's certainly been a nice thing for this Bears team. I think the other thing, too, is he brought it up when we played the cut earlier about him talking about the losing streak and the frustrations of losing and why a win would be important for him and the team. This is a guy who, over the course of his college career, lost four games. And that includes when he was at Georgia and didn't really play in that one season where he was with the Bulldogs. He lost four games. Three of them came in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Too. This is a guy that's not used to doing that, and he's lost eight in a row. He's probably never lost eight of anything in a row in his entire life. Mm-hmm. When you're as high level of an athlete as he is.
Yeah, you normally at high school and college level, and that's certainly been, you know, the story of his career, he affects the game more so than anybody else, or has been, or has throughout most of his life. So you're right. The losing that he's experiencing this year has got to be for him, outside of last year, you know, a first in all reality, eight in a row.
And that's why it's frustrating for him. And I get why he would want to win games. As Bears fans who want a number one overall pick, we obviously view it differently.
Let's try Eddie on the north side. Hey, Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, boys. Yeah, well, you're right about a question on a second contract when you got 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 2 years. You know, we're not giving a contract to a running back. We want to give a contract to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't pay running backs, right, Eddie?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Well, I'd be, like, mad if I was the running back on the Bears. It's like, wow, this guy's taking away my runs. So I'm going to look bad when I go for my contract.
Well, Eddie, how many 50-yard touchdowns does David Montgomery have this year?
Yeah, I know.
How many 50-yard touchdowns does Khalil Herbert have this year?
But not a lot of running backs throughout the league have had that many big runs and everything.
So Justin Fields does something special.
Yeah, I know. All of them run now, and all the ones.
But how many of them have 50-yard touchdowns?
What?
How many of them have 50-yard touchdowns?
None. So that's a freak thing that happens.
Is it a freak thing when it happens three times in a season? Three, four, five times?
But what would you say if I said we're talking about a quarterback that you guys didn't comment on that? 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 2 years. And I'm not even going to throw out the yardage because that's horrid, too.
Well, I'll say.
But what would you say about that?
So, Eddie, I would say that offensively, you're right. Like, he's the way they've gone about it, the Bears scoring points. It's not a traditional manner. And yes, I would like to see I would like to see them cut down on interceptions. And I think I've, you know, said it numerous times on the station that what we're seeing from Justin this year, Tyler and I specifically said it, right? This is likely the highest rushing total you'll ever see from him. And, you know, Tyler's made the point, at least the highest rushing attempts you ever expect to see from Justin Fields. I don't think going forward you're going to ask him to continue to do this. But the key is... But the key is that they're scoring points, right? Like, that's the one thing where the Bears, as long as you're scoring points, how do you get, you know, I'm not so concerned about the throwing touchdowns, but as long as the offense, you know, is better than it's been in the past, and it does need to get better. They haven't been good enough, but what I've seen from Justin Fields, I hope when there's more talent around him, the offense will continue to improve with him.
About the last 2 weeks here, forget about it. I mean, these last 2 weeks are just like the bowl games in college. The guys have checked out already. You know, if you have any significance of being a star and everything like that, you're gone by halftime. So making, you know that about fantasy, making same game parlays on these individuals, be very careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be happy about the Bears winning games against second stringers on the Minnesota. Come on.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right, Eddie, and thanks for the call as always. You're right. I don't think any of us are going to take any stock in the Bears winning a couple of games over the next couple of weeks. Like, the season has played out at this point. Winning games for the final 2 weeks are only actually going to hurt the organization.
Yeah.
Because it's going to hurt your draft status, right? Yeah. And I understand, though, you're not going to ask your players to go out and tank deliberately. That's not something any professional athlete really, I think, can get on board with or be in the right headspace. But the truth is, I think what you're seeing from the Bears, where they're shutting down players who have any types of, who are banged up at all, in Jalen Johnson, in Jack Sanborn, you know, in Kendall Vildor, I think as an organization, they're approaching it in a way where you can say, okay, they're not deliberately tanking, but they're doing everything in their power to ensure that the team, you know, is in the best position moving forward.
We call it tanking. That front office is calling it playing it safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And just to kind of show the turnaround that Fields has had, let's look at the last eight games that Justin Fields has had. He's accounted for 19 touchdowns to just 5 turnovers. Like, that's impressive stuff there. And
again, how many times can we say it? Look at what he's surrounded by, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing that with receivers that, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, come on. Darnell Mooney is a nice number two who was asked to be the number one in this offense, right? We haven't seen anything from Chase Claypool, you know, all season long. Like, Equanimeous St. Brown's a nice blocker.
Yeah.
But he's a receiver. So the truth is, like, what he's working with is, you know, probably about, this could be as bad a receiving core that he will work with in the entirety of his career. It's very possible what he has right now is the worst wide receivers he ever has as a quarterback.
Yeah. So, I mean, you even look at what he had in college, too. I think you'd take that group of college guys over what he has right now.
Not even close. 312-332-3776. Mel Arnacki in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.